Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, it's interesting when you are mentoring or guiding someone, you can very casually, almost discreetly, direct them and guide them into the person that you want them to be or to exercise the leadership style that you prefer. It's a great responsibility to be a mentor, or in the seminary we call it a formator. It's very important because you, again, can shape and mold someone. In fact, we can look at what would a mentor have someone read? So if I were to say that a mentor or a formator would have someone read books on theology that are softened by philosophy or softened by psychology, or excessive books on ecumenism, on how we have so many things in common, but our distinctiveness, our distinctive identity is overlooked. If the sacraments, the books are focused on the community and the horizontal dimension of the church and so on. After I would summarize this, you would say, well, at the end it would seem as if you have formed a priest diplomat or a priest politician or a priest community leader or a priest environmentalist or a priest social reformer. What you have not formed is a priest in the spiritual order. You have not formed a priest saint, a priest preacher, a priest herald. And would you be shocked if I were to describe to you that in the seminaries today, we have our seminarians read such garbage? They do not study dogmatic theology in most seminaries. They read garbage that tells them to be weak, to compromise, to accommodate. Do not rock the boat. Give the people what they want. Throw them the cotton candy. Do not worry about their souls. Is heaven really real? The most important thing is that we just build community. That's what we teach our seminarians. And I wonder why we have such weak priests and bishops. Someone asked me, they said, Father, can you explain to me? This is a prominent member in our church who's doing great work for the Catholic family. And she asked, Father, explain to me the American hierarchy, who are her worst enemies, a woman who is fighting for the family according to Catholic teachings. Tell me, explain to me the Catholic hierarchy. They should be my greatest supporters and advocates. Explain it to me. I said, well, have you heard of this person who's running for president? You know, the one who wants to kill babies? And she said, of course I have. I said, well, just imagine that instead of pursuing politics, he had become a priest. And imagine that he had been ordained a bishop. That is the vast majority of the American hierarchy. That is where their faith is. That is where their understanding of dogma is. The four last things, their understanding of heaven, explains so much, doesn't it? Why are our bishops so silent? Why do the leaders, the shepherds whom we want to shepherd us, why do they not speak so boldly? Why do we not hear from them? The devils of hell should most fear the office of bishop, priest, and deacon. Because those men who hold that office, their souls are transformed, molded, and shaped by grace. We believe as Catholics, a special character is given to a priest, a deacon, or a bishop for the sole purpose to fulfill that office of shepherd well and faithfully. All that grace, and it's squandered. It just sits there. Where are the voices of our heralds? Where are our saints? Well, there's good news today, dear people. I wouldn't leave you in bad news. Come on. We have some good bishops among us and some amazing priests and some wonderful deacons like Deacon Doc. But today we celebrate the feast of St. Charles Borromeo. And he was a great reformer because he chose to be. None of the other bishops wanted to be. If you know your church history, you'll be aware that we had this great council called the Council of Trent. It reformed the church. It was our response to Protestantism. What we don't know is that there was actually a council before that called Fifth Lateran. It was in the year 15, shortly after the 1505, 1507, and so on. And it called for reform. It called for a change in the clergy. It called for a clarification of doctrine. But there was no Charles Borromeo at Fifth Lateran. And the bishops went home after they wrote all these great documents, and none of them did anything. And guess what? October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther begins the Reformation, the revolution against Mother Church. And the greatest struggle is that in terms of the life of the church, he was completely right. Theologically, completely wrong. In the life of the church, completely right. If we had had reformers in Fifth Lateran, we would never have had the Protestant Reformation. The greatest scandal to the world today. That the Christian faith is treated as if it's some type of ice cream shop. You can go and just pick the flavor you want. Oh, I like gay marriage. I think you should kill babies. Okay, I'll become an Episcopalian. Huh? Oh, I think it's okay that married couples look at pornography. I think it's okay that gay people are parents and adopt. Okay, I'll become a Methodist. Don't become a Catholic. They're crazy. Oh, wait, you know what? None of them believe that anyway. I'll become a Catholic. You laugh. You laugh. So do the devils. Our church has become a joke. The Christian faith has become a joke. The faith that was literally given to us by the wound of our Lord's side as blood and water gushed forth. This is the most important message ever given to the human family. It is the message by which we are saved. By which we will be spared from hell, which we deserve. It is a powerful message. But imagine if we had never had Protestantism. If there had been reformers at Lateran 5. But there weren't. And then here comes Trent. No one wanted to. The bishops didn't want Trent. It was the leadership, the national leadership. It was the emperor and the kings who demanded for a council of reform. Because they got tired of the corruption of the bishops. And they were the ones who insisted. That's why it took so long to convene Trent. And why Trent lasted for so long. And then right after Trent, what happened? All the bishops went home. And no one did anything. The entire north of Christendom was lost by Protestantism. The Muslims are attacking from the east. And the bishops just go home and they worry about their secret wives and their plush palaces and their fine clothing and their wonderful food. No joke. Except Charles Borromeo. Charles Borromeo went to his archdiocese in Milan and he saw the church, the bride of Christ, wounded and broken and hurt. And he fulfilled his responsibility as a baptized Christian and as an ordained bishop. And he preached reform. He wrote the Council of the Catechism of the Council of Trent in order to teach the faithful the faith so that they might be spared from superstition. He demanded holiness among his clergy, so much so that some of them tried to kill him. He created the first seminary, which Trent had called for because the clergy were woefully ignorant and did not know how to properly celebrate the sacraments. Charles Borromeo went and he did what the Holy Spirit was asking through the Council of Trent. And he became a great reformer and he wrote and he explained what he was doing. And you would think, dear friends, that looking at our world today and the faith and where our faith is, that we would be training the future shepherds in the spirit of Charles Borromeo and Robert Bellarmine and Ignatius of Loyola. Because you form according to how you train. But we don't train our priests, our future priests, to be reformers. They're too busy being diplomats. Do you know some people have reached out to me over the past couple of days about various homilies I have preached and said, oh, Father, you're so brave. You're so wonderful. What? No, that should not be the exception. Do you realize that St. Paul tells the priest that the apostolic gift of preaching is given to the priest to provoke conviction? I'm not here as your clown. And I'm not here to tell you cutesy stories to make you have warm fuzzies. If you want that, go to another parish. There are a lot of them here in this area. If you're truly worried about where you stand with the Lord Jesus, and you want to truly allow grace to form you and make you fit for the kingdom of God, if you believe in the reality of heaven and hell, and you understand the power of grace, and you truly want to allow the Lord Jesus to save you, as we hear in the scriptures today, work out your salvation in fear and trembling, then find you a good Roman Catholic parish and stay close to the sacraments. Find a priest who's willing to preach the gospel, even if there are times that it might not make you feel good or you don't particularly like what he's saying. Find a priest that doesn't care about that, but is more concerned with your salvation. That was Charles Borromeo. And this is why God raised him up. You know, he worked so hard that in his mid-40s, he literally dropped dead of exhaustion. What a wonderful way to go for the kingdom. To literally die from exhaustion for the sake of the kingdom of God. I think after martyrdom, that's the best way to go, right? To appear before the gates and say, Lord, I poured out everything for you and for your gospel, for your kingdom. That was Charles Borromeo. Today, dear friends, I encourage you, turn to Charles Borromeo. If you have not heard of him, look him up, read about him. They're now finally publishing his works. Study about this reformer, understand what he did, how he brought reform, because, dear friends, if it wasn't for him, we'd be a lot worse off. But one bishop in one diocese in northern Italy brought about the entire reform of the church that the Holy Spirit desired through the Council of Trent. What if I were to tell you that we are still waiting for our reformers from Vatican II? Not the liars, not the manipulators, not the activists, but the real reformers who have the authentic teachings of the Vatican Council, which principally were to empower you, the faithful, the baptized, to be salt, light, and leaven in our world, to form you as true Christians, to teach you and exhort you and encourage you to truly live as followers of Jesus Christ. That is the Vatican Council. And we're still waiting for our reformers. We're still waiting for the ones to pick up that mantle. Pray for our young bishops. They're so brave. Pray for our older bishops that they either repent or die. Pray for our church. Because, dear friends, this is the body of Christ. This is the bride of Christ. She is beautiful. She is young and vibrant. And the Lord Jesus brought her into existence in order to announce and proclaim until the end of time that hell has no power over us. Darkness has not won, and sin can be vanquished. It is a liberating message of great hope and joy. And the church exists for the sole purpose to announce that message, to bring about our salvation, that together one day in paradise, as the united body of Christ, we might give true and full glory to our Father. That's what this is all about. Pray to St. Charles Borromeo. Pray for our bishops, pray for your priests, and then look at your baptism. You can do better. Be a better Christian. Take your baptism seriously. Realize what the Lord Jesus is asking of you. To be that herald in our world today. To be that source of true reform.